In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Nice to have everybody for the Word for Life. Welcome back. And we're here with lead pastor Ken Keltner. Also, we're joined with Pastor Greg Huffman, who's back with us. And we've had the luxury of having you back the last few times. So
great to be here.
Nice to see you as always.
Yeah, we want.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we want to pick your brain all the way through Joshua as long as you're with us. So we look forward to our study today. But Jack,
which we are in Joshua, finishing up chapter 6.
Seems like you've been saying that several times. We're going to finish up chapter 6.
That was actually a recording. I just played
exactly.
That, you know, and no, but we're handling at a snail's pace, but a good one, right?
Exactly. Well, they say about pastors that when they say "and in closing," it doesn't mean a thing.
Do want to remind everyone that Mike Gendron will be on the 12th through the 13th of November. He will be speaking on the subject of how to approach Catholicism from an evangelistic
standpoint. But he's going to be helping people know how to share the gospel too. So that's his ministry that he has there in Dallas, Texas, and he travels and helps people. He's an author and a preacher, and we're excited to have him here.
Yeah, as mentioned, 12th to the 13th of November for him, and then also the 12th to the 16th of October, we have the missions conference coming up.
It's highlight of our year. We look forward to really ministering to these missionaries, and we're going to have many of them come on. You know, we'll interview them on Word for Life, and we want you to there in the listening audience to know of what God's doing all around the world. And so as we pick up here in chapter 6, you look at Joshua. I think Alan Redpath wrote a book entitled Victorious Christian Living.
Mm-hmm.
And victorious Christian living is going to be all by faith. I mean, I'm going to have to I come to Christ by faith. I'm going to have to trust him by faith. I'm going to have to live for him in a way that demonstrates my faith. And the writer of Hebrews said, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Exactly.
And so when we finished up, the walls came down, Rahab's protected. They go in, they take the city. They've seen God do a great work. And again, we talked a little bit at the close of our last broadcast, you know, because I think it was Stephen Hawking wrote a book about God being a moral monster. That he commanded everything to be killed there in the city of Jericho, with the exception of those that were in Rahab's house. But the Canaanites had ample time to repent, and so the wedge is now driven into this central region of Canaan, which becomes a massive victory for the Hebrews, as the land is divided and the Canaanites are divided in their own power. And it's only going to be a matter of time before they're going to conquer the entire land. And so as I study Joshua, I'm constantly wanting to know in my own life, am I having victory in my life because I trust the Lord and I'm living by faith?
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 just simply says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down.
Right.
I honestly believe that Joshua expected the wall to fall down flat. And he wasn't surprised. He'd worked through the struggle of all of that at the end of chapter 5, if you remember, if you were with us. And as we kind of wrap up chapter 6, you know, the question could be, what is your Jericho? What is your obstacle that is so big that you're trying to, if you try to conquer it yourself, you're going to fall flat on your face? Or what is that Jericho that I'm giving over to God? And I'm saying, mm-hmm. God, you're going to have to do a work. You know, the whole culture around us seems to be telling us that if you get hurt by people, and a lot of times people are an issue for us.
Sure.
That if you get hurt by someone, then you get alone with God, and you might want to start praying imprecatory prayers on him. I think it was Mark Twain who said he never prayed for the death of an individual, but that he did happen to, in hearing of their obituary, have a sly grin come across his face. And really,
it was one of those, oh, rats.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like it's an unnatural thing that two angry people could actually forgive one another.
Mm.
You actually even see it within the church. You know, a brother or sister's offended. And Solomon said, boy, a brother offended is like harder to win over than a strong-walled city.
Mm.
But those words, hey, I want to ask your forgiveness, those are penetrating words.
Somebody said that the definition of an argument is two deaf people shouting at each other.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
Wow. Because yeah. No one's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the children of Israel just had a childlike faith. God said, this is what I want you to do. As much as they might have thought, they had just seen those walls or the river of Jericho, of mm-hmm. The Jordan stop up.
Right.
And then now they've seen the walls fall down. Joshua isn't surprised by it all. People aren't surprised. They trusted God.
Yeah.
You know, I think you always mentioned, Pastor Greg, about stupid thinking. You know, to actually stop our stupid thinking. And stupid thinking is usually when we think God's not at work and God doesn't know what I'm going through.
I called it stinking thinking.
Oh, you did call it stinking thinking. Yeah, stinking thinking. As we look and as we get ready to leave chapter 6 and go into chapter 7, there's some principles that I kind of want to apply here. That number one, the battle you face is not difficult because of its size or the circumstances, but it's difficult because it seems impossible.
Uh-huh.
And I would say give it to the Lord, because we serve a God who loves the impossible. Secondly, the plan you're to follow is not a struggle because it's complicated or confusing. It's a struggle because it might be strange. It's strange. It's a strange way to win a battle, to wait, to pray, to trust, and yet if I refuse God's plan, I'm going to defend my rights. It comes across very foolish for us in the end because we didn't wait and trust God.
You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 says that when we suffer for right, that this is the will of God. And then it goes on to say that Christ set an example that we should follow in his steps, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but committed his cause to him that judges righteously. And that business of just turning it all over to God and commit our cause to him who does judge righteously. Our problem is we want him to judge right away.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's sad when we want to move out in our own strategy, our own plan of how to get even. That's kind of the sinful natural response, mm-hmm. and that's not God's response. Finally, I look at the victory that needs to be accomplished. It wasn't because of it wasn't because of the smarts or the military planning on the part of Joshua at all. It wasn't through man. It was accomplished because God said, this is what I want you to do, and he was willing to obey God mm-hmm. and tell the folks, this is what we're going to do. And let me just warn you, there are many out there that don't get this. You know, and I would say remove all the manipulation and maneuvering and the rearranging to somehow allow you to come out looking like the hero. Because Joshua would say, I'm not the hero here.
Right.
God's the hero. You know, when I do it God's way, he is the one that's going to get the glory.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Yeah. Hmm. And you think of all of it in Scripture with humility. Mm-hmm. You know, an angry, Proverbs, we're told in chapter 29, an angry and a furious man abounds in their transgressions. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain their honor, right, or retain their integrity.
Right.
You know, there is every temptation to be impressed with this person or that person today. We are impressed with Moses because he led millions of people out of the land of Egypt. What did Moses look like to the people he was leading? Maybe some said, he's not a good speaker. Maybe others said, man, be careful. He can get angry. He can get mad. What about Cain, the firstborn son ever? What did people say about him? Oh, he was a great gardener. But man, does he have a temper. What about Noah? Now, that man could stand alone, a man of great faith. He was patient all the years in building that ark. Daniel. Well, he was a little rebellious. He wouldn't obey the king. Some would say he spent too much time on his knees praying to his God. Others may say he was faithful, courageous, and dedicated to God. And my plea today is that we will be impressed not with people, but that we'll be impressed with God. Because God is a holy God, and he requires that I live a holy life. And Jack and Pastor Greg, that is an issue that people want to do what they want to do because we're selfish. Mm-hmm. We got this old sin nature. I wish it was eradicated when I came to Christ. It's still there. There's that battle that Paul talks about in Romans 7 between the flesh, you know, and the spirit and what I know I should do and what I end up not doing. And this holy life And it's Old Testament and New Testament.
It goes back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll have wisdom. You will know the difference between right and wrong. And in the Hebrew, it means you will have the right to make the decision of what you think is right and wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, exactly. And the issue there is, you know, God had already said, you do this, you're going to die.
Right, right.
And he just flat out just kept questioning what God mm-hmm. had said. I mean, mm-hmm. he's always been an expert at putting the question mark where God puts the period.
Right.
Well, I trust that you've enjoyed this study. We're going to be going into chapter 7 here in our next broadcast, And yet I close with this one passage. It's been our theme for the year here at Brookside, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think as we study through Joshua, we see that up to this point, he is doing all that he can do, you know, being obedient to the Lord because he wants God to be the hero and God to get the glory. And but when we come to chapter 7, there's a problem that's going to take place. Hope you'll join us for that study. And Pastor Greg, you'll be back with us?
Yes, sir.
Jack, of course you're going to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we look forward to that time, and may the Lord bless you, and we trust that you have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.